News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
And it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the Executive Chair this week. He's the country CEO and Chief Sustainability Officer for IKEA Ireland and the UK. And he's Mr. Peter Jelkaby. Peter, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Glad to be here.
Now, we'll talk about IKEA in a second, Peter, but let's chat about yourself first. You're from Sweden's second city, Gothenburg, I understand. Tell us a little bit about your background and your early years.
I think, in a short nutshell, born in Malmö, but actually brought up in Gothenburg, as you rightly said. Did my degrees, university in marketing, but actually ended up in IKEA at an early age as a part-timer. And then had a career, you can say, across both the purchasing side and supply chain side of IKEA, ending up eventually in the retail side or the customer-facing part.
Okay.
In a very nutshell, but also been away from IKEA for a while. So I've been a bit coming as I'm a returner to IKEA.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to all that. But maybe tell us a little bit about, because I understand when you were on the purchasing side of the business, you spent 5 years in Moscow. What era was that, or what years?
No, that's actually when I joined my first full-time job. That was in 89. I moved to Moscow in 1990 as part of the first generation of IKEA co-workers living in Russia, Soviet Union at that time. And it was actually the first time IKEA really went for expansion into the Soviet Union and then to become Russia. That's what I did for 5 years.
Well, would you believe I was in Russia in 1991, I think it was, and I remember that time. It was a really strange time when, you know, Russia was opening up to the West.
Yeah.
McDonald's had just opened.
Yeah.
There were no food on the shelves.
No.
Queues around the blocks for miles. But it was and I remember distinctly getting a taxi and the currency was cigarettes. You would pay. Do you remember all that? You do.
No, and there actually was an Irish pub in Moscow in those days. I remember very well, actually. One of the few ones. But I mean, on a serious note, of course, it was a very rapid development in Russia in a short time span. From 1990 to 94 when I left, you know, it happened a lot. Huh? As you said, when I left, McDonald's had opened and so forth. When I came there, it was nothing, basically.
Right. And how many IKEA units was there in Moscow after you left at that time?
No, you know, there was no units at all. I was on the trading side, building up the supply chain for stores to come.
What
we did eventually was actually the land where their first IKEA store was to be built. That was how far as it got. But wow. I was on the trading side.
Okay. And then you moved to the Asia market. I think you were based in Vietnam for a number of years. Tell us about that.
No, I moved to Hong Kong, then to eventually quite quickly in 1995. Then I moved straight almost into Vietnam, opened the IKEA's trading office in Vietnam, and had a fantastic time doing 5 years building up the business for IKEA, again on the sourcing side. And I mean, Vietnam, still a very important market for IKEA today in sourcing. At that time, it was a fantastic market in the sense of growth, in the sense of actually very strong supply base. So it was fantastic years, I think. A lot of entrepreneurship. I have a lot of stories to tell you about that.
Okay, well, tell us one or two. Why don't you?
No, but I think it's more a matter in the beginning when you were not, I wouldn't say you were undercover, but you really had to find your ways to establish the office, the way you were maneuvering to get all the licenses and so on. I mean, it was just an interesting period in a country that, you know what, I had a lot for it and a lot of determination to grow. So it's more a general feeling in working in a market where growth, entrepreneurship, somebody with a lot of willingness to do something.
Yeah.
My memory of Vietnam.
But you're a man, clearly, Peter, who takes on new frontiers. You know, both examples there, both in Moscow and in Vietnam, where, you know, you're bringing, I suppose, a developed business to new markets.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think I have a curiosity. I think IKEA also is a curious company and entrepreneurial company. So if you have that entrepreneurial mindset, which I think actually I have, you can thrive in IKEA. We are not afraid. I think we dare to be different. We are taking steps into a lot of unknown markets. And I think it's been part of our success story, actually.
Yeah. You then took a break from IKEA for a few years.
No, actually, I came from Vietnam to UK. Worked for Habitat, which at that time was owned by the IKEA family, you could say.
All right.
And then I joined actually IKEA for 8-9 years on the retail side. Then I left IKEA in 2008 and was away. I worked for the Nordic retailer a little bit later. 10 years, you could say, I was away from IKEA before returning in 2019.
So that was Claes Olsson. Tell us about that business.
I think business that actually in many ways are similar when it comes to culture, a very value-based company, more in the, I wouldn't say DIY, a little bit like Robert Dias, in kind of the bits and pieces and bobs and fixing, and a strong, very strong brand in the Nordics. Attempted to establish ourselves here in UK, what was quite tough actually, but it's actually a fantastic company as well. So it was great years. It was a public company as well. So coming out, working on somebody on the stock exchange was a different experience for me.
Okay.
Used to IKEA.
And then to talk about IKEA, maybe in Ireland, Peter, established in Belfast in 2007, 2009 in Ballymun. Now you've got 730 odd employees.
Yeah.
You run Ireland and the UK. What is there, 13,000 people? If we look at the total workforce, it's a serious operation.
It is, and I would say if I focus on the Irish operation, I think it's a fantastic market for us. We've been seeing growth. We have more potential in Ireland, hence we invest. As you know, we are behind the big Ballymun store. We also have another click and order point. We're investing in, you could say, kitchen shops, and then also now coming up a CDC. So we have a lot of belief for the long term in Ireland and also in UK. I mean, it's been a great story in both markets for us.
Yeah, so is the strategy now, you know, to have a large anchor store such as Ballymun, then to have the order and collection points, the smaller model, and then you've also collaborated with Tesco, have you not?
We have. I think the strategy we have is one is that we need to be more accessible, both digitally as well as physically, right?
Yeah.
And what you see with, for example, Tesco or Click and Collect is a way of us reaching out more with customer orders. Then what we do with the smaller units that we have, and it's a way of having more physical units getting closer, and we see more potential that. So it's going to be a combination of physical shopping with IKEA or meeting points as well as digitally, and there's more to do.
What about the online store that was established, I suppose, in Ireland since 2017? Where does that fit into the strategy?
I think today it's an important channel, as the shopping behavior today is very fluent between I sometimes can shop online, I sometimes shop physically, and we have roughly a share of 33% online share today. And, you know, the trick is here is how you make them work in harmony. So
yeah.
Online together with a big Ballymun store, together with a small in-kitchen units, if I may say so, and plan and order points, that combination is how we are penetrating the market. So it's more about how they are building on each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So when we talk about the retail experience, Peter, you know, it is quite unique the way you're guided nicely through all the various rooms,
yeah,
the kitchens, the living rooms, maybe have the meatballs at the end of it. It's a very different retail experience to many.
I think it is. And I mean, of course, we are developing, but we also keep some fundamentals on your point about, yeah, we have a steered flow. You're having a journey through what we call showrooms, seeing all the furniture, getting inspired. You then hopefully stop for the meatballs in the restaurant for a small break to get some energy. And then you continue your journey through the market to have home furniture accessories and then the warehouse. I think, you know what, the fundament of IKEA remains the same, but we are also evolving quite a bit. I would say that today, when you come into a store in this case, the inspiration level is much higher than it used to be. We are consciously aware of that we need to develop. We need to be more interactive. We need the digital element of the physical shopping is becoming more important. So while having fundamentally the same experience, we are evolving as we speak.
Tell us then about further developments in Ireland in terms of developing this market.
I think what we see in Ireland, we are more we have invested quite a bit of seeing where we need to be, and we see potential to be in more places. And I don't want to be too specific exactly when and where,
right,
but we have a continued journey in Ireland. We see ourselves investing more into Ireland. I think our CDC is a big commitment. What we do now to get increase the service level, shorter lead times, better environmental friendly deliveries, standby EV, deliveries in around Dublin. And then we are, yeah, we are in Cork now with the kitchen shop. Of course, Cork is a quite big town, and we can see more things happening. So I'm a bit vague here, but
that's okay.
Rest assured that for all the hopefully our IKEA fans that IKEA
you're not going away. You're not going away. Is what you're saying?
We're not going away, and we have become more accessible. That's probably my message.
And what about your strive to keep, I suppose, retail prices down? I know value for money is huge in terms again of your strategy.
I think we have lower prices on roughly 2,200 products plus, right? Invested 10 million in Ireland now solely, right? And because we need to give back. We need to always be on top of the affordability agenda. So we have seen that, and we're going to continue our journey to lowering prices. The thinner wallets, the cost of living, we are very much aware of our job to remain affordable. That's one of the cornerstones of IKEA. So we will keep working that agenda, and we are lowering prices if you compare to... If you walk into an IKEA store today, you will see that. Or online, by the way, it's no difference.
It's important
for us.
Okay, and finally, another little bit back to yourself. You've climbed Kilimanjaro. What was that like?
Tough.
Right.
It was fantastic. You know what that is about? You never know what to expect, because there's very much how you can hand out. But I would say it was a fantastic experience. We are a team of friends who do these kind of things a little bit. We've been to Svalbard, we've been to Kilimanjaro, and it's just, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. It is, but the last stretch is fairly tough. It's a slow walk.
Good man. Well done on that as well. So, Peter Jacobi, Country CEO and Chief Sustainability Officer for IKEA Ireland and the UK, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Bobby.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.